professionalism, administration, leadership in education. You might think that that's a very odd name for a SIG in JALT. It's anything but. We are the most important SIG there is. We have a collection of very fine, talented people who have walked on paths in their educational careers here in Japan that few of us can imagine. I'll correct myself. Many of us can imagine, because many of those people are here. There, once upon a time in the pre-bubble days, Japan was a place where lifetime employment was presupposed. It's not like that anymore. Some of us have been downsized or contracts breached. And it has been the Pale Group, the Yahoo Group, that has been the venue for frank, honest, open discussions, and private discussions as well, private and protected discussions, where ideas have been exchanged and contracts have been revised or preserved and honored. So this is a very important SIG, and we choose our speakers carefully and with wonderful purpose. I'm proud to introduce today Mr. Rube Redfield, longtime Pale member, in fact, founding Pale member, if I'm correct. No? Well, longtime Pale member anyway, and a longtime friend, who is going to introduce our speaker for today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure to introduce my union brother and good friend, Neil Yamashita. Neil is the vice chair of EWA Osaka and a longtime labor activist. Neil is also a labor judge. He has an MA in political economics, emphasis on labor, and is a self-taught English speaker. He uses English because he has to and would like to be considered an international English user. I helped Neil on the handout, so if there's any mistakes, they're probably mine. Judge Yamashita, welcome.
Hello, good evening. My name is Neil Yamashita. My real name is Tsuneo Yamashita, but please call me Neo, not Neo Matrix. Before having a presentation, I'd like to introduce myself. I participate union activities since 1974 after the student movement. And I entered the National Railway, and I joined the Japan National Railway Union, called as a Kokuro. And 1 year later, I lost my job through my political activity. And then I found a job at the Japan Teachers Union, and I worked for almost 13 years. Then Japan Teachers Union became conservative and more conservative, and they joined the Rengo Union, the very popular union in Japan. And we decided to split out from JTU, because at that time we have a lot of part-time teachers, contingent workers in schools, but Japan Teachers Union don't want to organize them. Because I'll explain it later. Anyway, we formed the EWA, Education Workers and Amalgamated Union, in Osaka. So today I'll try to explain labor relations in Japan through three stages. First is entering the employment. Second, during the term of employment. Third, one is ending the employment. And if we have a time, I'd like to explain what the union is and what is union doing for you. Okay, so if you have any questions, please don't ask questions during my presentation. I will only focus on my presentation.
But now we can ask after each section, right?
Yeah. I try to keep the time for you questioning and discussion. Now, I'd like to explain the labor relations at the first stage, the entering the employment. It's a hiring. If you enter the employment, you make a labor contract. Labor contract don't include the self-employment or entrepreneurs, because employment labor contract is made between worker and employer. Then worker become an employee. And labor contract means a contract between worker and employer, and that means a contract of sale and purchase of labor power commodity. It's funded by it's this category of the concept of the labor power commodity is funded by Marx. I read Marx several times, and I agreed his idea of labor power commodity. But it's not a main issue today. But you can remember what you are selling is labor power commodities. And when you enter the employment and you make a labor contract, and the contract shows the working conditions under which you work for the employer. And if you look at the handout, working conditions is familiar with you is working time, workplaces, something like that. But second one is not so familiar with you. I mean the second one is insurance, fringe benefits. If you are full-time workers or part-time workers, and those who working more than 3/4 of regular workers, you are entitled to, or you are forced to participate in the health insurance and pension scheme. And if you are part-time workers, those who working more than 20 hours a week have to get involved in the unemployment insurance. Unemployment insurance covered and pay you the benefit when you lost a job. But most of the university didn't participate in the unemployment insurance. Yes, until 2002. Because until 2002, private universities told us they made a special agreement with Minister of Labor. The most of the private universities don't fire, don't terminate the contract with teachers. That's why don't need to participate in the unemployment insurance. But if you look at page 2, I will show the case study 1, Kandai. Kansai is Kansai University, not Kansai area. Name is Kansai University. our member was working there with 3 years contract. And we fought against his dismissal when the contract expired. But we didn't succeed in. So that's why we changed the scene, and we requested the Kansai University get involved the unemployment insurance, because he will lose a job. He needs some benefit from unemployment insurance. And Kansai University replied us because of the agreement with the Minister of Labor, they don't need to get involved in. So we brought the case to the Labor Board and discussed with the congressman. And we also brought the case to the public prosecution. And all these, through these activities, Kansai University was forced to participate in unemployment insurance. And then Minister of Labor forced all private universities get involved in this insurance. And some universities made a complaint against Kansai University. Why you didn't calm down this union? If you do that, we don't need to pay the contribution to the unemployment insurance. Of course, public sector university don't need to participate because public sector university teachers are entitled to get retirement allowance based on the law. That's why they don't need to unemployment benefit. But what I want to say is through the union activities, especially the foreigners' involvement, we can improve the working condition in Japan. And if without this guy, all private universities still haven't get participate this unemployment insurance. And fourth one is industrial accident and illness insurance. This is a very common all over the world, I guess. And contribution is paid by employers. You don't need to pay the contribution. But if you get injured at the workplace or sometimes fell down the stairs, you are covered by this insurance. Even going back to the university schools from your house, you get injured, you are covered. Don't worry about it. So this is working condition and insurance. So then if you understand what the labor contract is, so we should classify the labor contract by three criteria. One is duration, second is type, third is whose contract. We can classify the employment contract first by the criteria of duration. It's divided in two categories. One is a limited term contract. Another one is a permanent contract. And most of the foreign teachers working in Japan have a limited term contract, except you, probably. And limited term contract is regulated by labor standards law, Rodo Kijunho. It must be less than 3 years. Means if you make a limited term contract, its duration must be less than 3 years. And before 2004, it must be less than 1 year. Except the doctors or lawyers, they are not regarded as a real worker. That's why. And it's very common is 1 year contract with renewal limitation such as 3 times or 4 times. Most of the schools limit the number of renewal until 3 times because they have some wrong idea. If you renew the contract 3 times, your contract become permanent. It's a wrong idea. It's not regulated by any law. You should know one thing. If you make a limited-term contract, and contract expires at the end of the term, and you still continue to work without any objection, including making a new contract. You still continue to work. That contract become permanent. It's a Japanese civil law. What's that? I can show the example. I say the case study to GEOS. GEOS is an English conversation school. When I got involved with the case around 1998, yeah, at the time, guide worked more than 1 year without any objection from lawyers. And 6 months later, he was fired. So we brought the case to the civil court, and we insisted that his contract has become permanent because he continued to work after 1 year contract expired, and no objection was there. And the court decided, yes, his contract had become permanent. So that's why his reasonable dismissal is not clear, and there's no reason for his dismissal. That's why his dismissal was invalid. So at that time, I think their lawyers didn't know the law. That's why it's easy to win the case. But please remember that if you have a limited term contract, please carefully look at it and what stage you are now. If you work, continue to work after the contract expires, you win. And the next one is a permanent contract. Who has a permanent contract?
No contract.
That means a permanent.
Yeah. No contract.
Yeah.
No
contract. Yeah. Literally saying that it's not permanent because a contract made between you and the employer. If employer will be killed, contracts expire, not permanent. And it's permanent contract don't conflict with the age of retirement, such as 60 or 65 or 70s. I remember until 1980s, Japanese public servant don't have age of retirement. They can work until they die. But 1980s, they introduced the age of retirement system. And of course, they can get a lot of retirement allowance. And this permanent contract is very familiar with public servant and big company employees. Those who working at small and medium-sized companies don't enjoy the permanent contract. Even Japanese. And most Japanese workers are not covered by this permanent contract, even though they don't make a written contract. I will explain later. It's a verbal contract, but they are sometimes fired or dismissed during the term of the contract. Anyway, we classified the labor contracts by duration. And second is type. Second type, it's a verbal or written. And most of the Westerners are very familiar with the written contract. And some of them think a written contract is better than verbal one. But Verbal contract in Japan is very normal in a permanent contract. As someone said, no contract means it's a Japanese contract system. And the employer give workers jirei, appointment paper, not a contract. Jirei, I'll show it later. But sometimes in temporary contract situations, verbal contract tend to become a permanent. If you make a verbal contract, there is no evidence you make a written contract. That's why we have my contract. I was just told by Barbary, you please come to here and work until you want to quit. That makes something permanent. Especially if you remember the Geo's case, you don't have any limited term of limited term. So just employer told you, just come here and work. That's all. Then the verbal contract tends to become permanent. And but on the contrary, in some case, this jirei appoint is not considered as a rollover contract, but as same as a limited term contract. I can show the example. Please look at the page 7 of your handout. This is written in Japanese. This is a jinji tsushisho, a kind of jirei. This says Osaka University of Economics appoint you as a part-time teacher from April 1st to the end of March 2003. And nobody signed it. This is a kind of jirei. And but on the contrary, if you look at the page 8, the same guy got a labor contract by the same university. That means this university introduced the contract system from 2003 or 2004. We strongly protest against it because if you get this kind of jirei, it's very easy to become a permanent one. But if you make a written contract and you have to sign the contract at the bottom of the page, you can see the David Lawrence here. And this written contract explicitly says the duration of the employment, number 3. If you can read the Japanese, this starts April 1st, 2007 through March, the end of the March 2008. That's why both parties agreed the duration of the contract employment. Then the university want to fire him. They just said your contract expires. That's all. Leave it. But if you get a jirei on page 7, this jirei doesn't say the duration of the term of the employment. Just said you will teach here from April 1st to the end of the March. He expects next year I will teach other faculty, other department, because my employment is secure. That's our union's idea to fight against dismissal or termination of the contract. So that's why we prefer the jirei to one moment to written contract. But I'd like to explain more. Those who made a written contract first, and the next year, if you refuse it, you are terminated. You will be terminated. There are around the year 2000, most of the university in Kansai area introduced the contract system instead of jirei. That's why some of universities we fought against, including Kansai Gakuin, Kansai University. I suggest members don't sign the new contract because your employment already secured and your employment became permanent. If you sign the contract, you are regarded to admit the term of employment. And this guy, David Lawrence, I recommend him not sign the contract, but he worked at several universities, and he didn't know at that time which one is my main university, which one I don't sign, which one I should sign. And unfortunately, he signed that contract of Osaka University of Economics. And last year, he was fired, he was terminated, and we insisted his employment had become permanent, but the university insisted that he signed a contract. He admitted the one-year contract. So that's why this contract won't be renewed. That's all. That's the idea. Of course, we didn't lose the case because we prefer the mediation at the civil court. But I'd like to remind you, if you don't sign the contract, you didn't sign the contract, don't sign forever. It's a project your employment. I explained the type of the contract. Any question?
So, if you have jirei and something goes wrong, you can win.
Sorry?
So, if you don't have a contract and you're given jirei, something happens and your employer says, "We're sorry, we don't want you anymore," it says here you work until the 31st of March. Mm. You can win.
Yeah.
I have jirei. I'm very happy now.
So don't sign a contract. They send it to
anyway, which arm are you working?
I work for Kyoto Ikadai.
Private.
Fujitsu.
I should explain the public schools later. It's a special category. One moment.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
I work at Hokkaido University. Mm. It's a national university. They have a system where if you get hired with a master's degree, you get 3 years. If you're hired with a PhD, you get 4 years. Mm. There's a vague possibility of renewal, which they don't like to acknowledge, but generally you're renewed. Mm. So PhDs can work there up to 8 years. Masters, people with a master's degree can work there for 6 years. The piece of paper that I got said in boldface, and actually Japanese is my second language, but it seemed to say, there is absolutely no possibility of renewal past this renewal. So 6 years and you're out. And I'm interested in, you said something about the limited term contracts must be less than 3 years, but they're hiring PhDs for 4 year contracts, and they're saying there's a limitation on renewals, and the gossip I heard was, well, if you work a day past 8 years, you're permanent.
You mean your contract with 3 years or 4 years, 6 years, or 1 year contract?
It's a 3 year contract renewed once for me. Mm. For the people with the doctorate, it's 4 years, renewed once, 8 years total. And you're out.
Mm. Mm. So if you make a 4 year contract, after 3 years working, it must become permanent, I guess. But if you make a 3 year contract, it's allowed by labor standards law, Rodo Kijun Ho, and you renew it. You can renew it many times, but it doesn't become permanent.
So Hokkaido University could renew my contract 10 times if they wanted to.
And I'll explain it later how the limited term contract become permanent. But at this moment, I just explained what the labor standard law say. And he quit. I explained the non-contract. It's a special category of public servant, those who are working at the local government or central government. These days, most of the central national university are privatized. So that's why there is no national university in Japan. All privatized. So all teachers are private workers, covered by laws, labor laws. But we can see the many ALTs, teachers working at the city, or local government, or city universities, or prefecture universities. They are not regarded as a worker. They can't make a mutual agreement with city. Instead, they get a delay. And of course, the same as this jirei, but it's called as ninyo. Ninyo is a special category, probably here in Japan and probably Germany. But ninyo, in ninyo system, the jirei or appointment paper is not renewed, but every time new Ninyo, new jirei is made. So that's why teachers such as ALTs has no expectation of renewal. And when you hear about it, it seems like a serf in middle age or a slave old age.
Sir.
Unfortunately, you are not workers here in Japan. So we have a lot of cases working at the city on the prefectures. You may know about the case Kumamoto Prefecture University. They lost a job and they didn't win the case at the court, even the high court. Of course, many foreigners, many Japanese working at the city's prefectures now fighting against their contract system. And we probably get a new decision from the court in near future, in a couple of years. So that's why you don't worry about your situation. And so we proceed to the second stage. The, when you make the contract and you enter the employment, second,
can I ask one question on the first stage? So a lot of the prefectural and privatized national universities are offering people five-year contracts. Mm. It's not one every year for 5 years. They're five-year contracts, renewable, and most of them are told forever at five-year sections. So those are legal contracts then?
Yeah, it's legal. It's we call it a ninkitsuki. Ninkitsuki kyoin.
Only because they were formerly public institutions?
Yeah, right.
It's a special category.
It's a new law introduced around 2002 or 3. And we have one case is working at the University of Kyoto, and he lost a job after five years service. And he brought a case to court, and he lost because of this law adopted to him.
The contract was over, they said.
Yeah. Okay, go back to the second stage. Relationship in the during the term of employment. It's what most important thing is the working conditions. What is the working conditions? I explained earlier. So this time, I would like to explain the how to decide the work condition, how to change the working condition. And determination of the working conditions, first, for individual workers, contract decide. And there is a mutual agreement about the working condition, you and your employer. And second is for a group, because this kind of current capitalist mode of production, group contract takes some precedent to individual contract, because it's more efficient than individual contract. We call it shugyokusoku work rules in Japan. Because if you can imagine the factory, you make a line and manufacturing something, the working conditions are very same, except the wage, work starting time, ending time, day off, something like that. That's why if you make a contract as a group, that's take precedent over your individual contract. When they change the working condition, they can change the work rules, not individual contract. This is a individual contract system and a group contract system. And the third one is much strong is a union agreement with employers. But this, you can read the Labor Standards Act, Article 92, at the bottom of the page 3. The rules of employment, shugyokusoku, shall not infringe any laws and regulations or any collective agreement applicable to the workplace concerned. So, labor unions, contract, negotiated agreement is strongest one. And so, I already explained how to change the working condition. But one thing I'd like to express is those who have part-time, those who have a limited term contract, you are part-time teachers, part-time workers. If you make a written contract or verbal contract, it's impossible to change the working condition within the duration of the contract. Because a one-year contract, both parties already agreed. Either party can't change it. If they want to change the working condition, they have to do it when they renew the contract. In the next year, the working conditions, something like that. But exception is there in case of improvement. During the contract, you can be pay raised or shorten your working time. Improvement is allowed to, in this situation. And regarding working condition, other important matters is that employers are obligated to pay attention to safety of workplace, mentally and physically. It's regulated in Industrial Safety and Health Law, Workers' Accident Compensation Insurance Act, very long. But in this, as I mentioned earlier, if you get injured, you are covered by this kind of law, and you are compensated the hospital fee and the payment. But I'd like to include the annual leave or other physical checkup in this category. Because you make a contract, and if it's permanent for as long as contract covers workers, who have to work in healthy situation, condition. That's why employer pay attention to your safety, and they have to give you the chance or opportunity to check up your physically. You can get a day off or annual paid leave. Anyway, these are, I guess, working conditions. And third stage, labor relations in Japan in third stage, probably it's most important for most of the foreign workers here in Japan. Ending employment. This means resignation, termination, dismissal. How to end the employment? I can explain the two ways. One is for tenured full-timers, those who have a permanent contract. Another one is part-timers or contingent workers with a limited term contract. First one is very simple. If you arrive at the age of retirement, such as 60, 65, your contract expires at the end of the employment. But during the term of the contract, if the employer wants to end your employment, they have to dismiss you, they have to fire you. So that's why we should consider about dismissal. And dismissal includes two ways. It's with a legitimate reason, and another one is unfair dismissal. What is a legitimate reason? Is if you give them a fake CV, or you made some sexual harassment or power harassment. Because of this personal reason, you are fired legitimately. But another one is as a group, if a school or company gone bankrupt or don't make any profit, they have to make some restructuring. You are very familiar with the JAL's situation right now, Japan Airlines. They offered some good retirement benefit to the workers, and they recruit more than 500. But until now, the 250 applied to the retirement scheme. And then Japan Airlines now consider about dismissal. And they need 250 members should be fired. But this kind of restructuring, they need four factors. I wrote down the handout, but what I would like to explain is these phenomena will be appear in near future at the universities. Some universities is now facing financial problems and losing enrollment of students. So they have to fire some teachers in near future. That's why you should watch about what's going on JAL, Japan Airlines. And this kind of personalities and restructuring, it meets legitimate reason of dismissal. But the next one is unfair dismissal. Unfair dismissals have two meanings. One is illegal dismissal. You can see the many illegal dismissal in your handout. It's regulated by laws, many laws. But the point is the second one. Without legitimate reason, it's always decided by court. When we think about dismissal, it's illegal or legitimate reason or without it, we always look at the court precedent. A lot of court precedent here in Japan. But if you're familiar with the at-will employment doctrine, I've heard it's very popular in the United States. That means take it or leave. But this kind of dismissal is not allowed in Japan. Because the employer should provide the legitimate reason to the workers. It's probably difficult to understand. That's why I'd like to give you some example. I wrote the case study 7, Yuhigaoka. That teacher is working at a high school, and he and his colleagues worked for the club activities, and they requested the PTA, Parents and Teachers Association, to give a subsidy to the club activities, because we use this room for the club activities. But it's wrong. But they requested the PTA, and PTA had given the them the subsidies. And of course, subsidies to went to the club activities. And the school suddenly fired the main person of the teachers. And we brought the case to the court. And finally, the court decided what he and they did is wrong. But it's not a good reason or a legitimate reason for dismissal. Instead, court suggests is not dismissal, but 3 months.
Suspension.
Yeah, that's right. So that's why, without legitimate reason, it's a case by case. Anyway, this is a dismissal for the full timers, 10 years. Another one is the part timer, those who have a limited contract. And as I said earlier, during the term of the contract, no change is allowed over your working condition, including dismissal. No, they cannot dismiss you during the term of the contract. This is the point of the limited term of contract. Of course, if there is a good reason for dismissal, it's allowed, such as sexually harassed or fake CV, something like that. But we should concentrate on the non-renewal of contract, because you make a one-year contract or a six-month contract, you expect the renewal of the contract. And then the employer don't renew your contract and terminate it. So that's why non-renewal. So what situation the termination is regarded as dismissal? The what situation termination is regarded as termination? I'd like to explain into two categories of non-renewal. First is the termination. If we look at the page 8, as I showed you earlier, that's a contract say the duration of the employment 1 year. So that's why most of the written contract shows the expiration of the contract at the end of the contract. And if it is a first year contract, first contract, it's difficult to expect for renewal because both parties agree the contract. The contract covers this duration. If this duration expires, then there is no contract. It's very easy to understand. But second, if you renew the contract several times, you expect this contract must be renewed next time. This is an expectation. Well, that's why if termination is regarded as dismissal, reinstatement leave is required if employer wants to terminate the contract. And also element considered consists of dismissal. The first is the number of renewal, how many times you renew the contract. Second, employer's word. Sometimes employer tell you you can work as long as you want. Most of Japanese are told like that. The third one is history at work, your workplace. If it is a first contract, but most of the employee or every workers can renew the contract, then you can expect the renewal of your contract. This is the history of at your workplace. This element considered as a dismissal. If this contract you are dismissed, you can request them give you the legitimate reason of non-renewal. And this dismissal for part-time teachers, part-time workers, occurred very often in Japan, and there is a lot of court precedent. And these days, expectation takes precedence over formality. Formality means if you look at the contract explicitly say the duration of the contract, employment. But if you expect the renewal of the contract, civil court or higher court considered your expectation and expectation of your colleagues. Then court make decision the employer should give workers a legitimate reason for non-renewal. Yeah, so that's why if you are part-time workers with limited-term contract, and you should consider about the situation or your workplaces or history of your workplaces or how many times you renew the contract. But it is not regulated by any law. So if you face this kind of dismissal, please consult with unions or lawyers, and they can give you the some good precedent over that. And so I have some time, so I can go on the union. Some of you belong to the union, and you are very well known about the union. But I'd like to explain the role of union By emphasizing the stage one, stage two, stage three. First stage, we talk about entering the employment, and in this stage, no discrimination against a union member is permitted. Probably in Japan and all over the world. And what interesting precedent is this. They're working at the hospital, and there's some of them belong to the union and others not. And the hospital went bankrupt, and but the owner built a new hospital, and then transfer the non-union member to the new one. The another one, the union members were fired. Then they brought to the court, and the court decided even though new hospital hired new workers, even so, discrimination against union member is prohibited. That's why new hospital should hire this union member. This is a good court precedent, but very rare in Japan, because most court precedents say there's a lot of discretion.
Sairyoken.
For the employer. But due to the union membership, you are not discriminated, even though at the stage one, first stage. That's what I want to say. Second one, the negotiation. It's very easy to imagine. I can give you some examples. The Kwangak, the Kansei Gakuin University. One of our members was told at the employment stage, you can work as long as you want. But 10 years later, the university introduced the age of retirement for part-timers. And he made a complaint against the dean, but dean replied him, it's finished, decided, with angry. And he came to the union, and the union started a negotiation. And then universities accept union demand, and they make some new system, and he can, under the new system, he can work until age of 75. 75. A part-time teacher.
Nice.
Anyway, they cannot refuse a negotiation with union. Because the Constitution of Japan explicitly regulates the only labor unions have a right of organization, right of negotiation, and right of strike action collectively. And when I look at the Constitution of the United States and other countries, say that labor unions have a right of strike. Don't you have a right of strike in your constitution? But in Japan, labor unions have a right of strike in the constitution. So that's why we call the three fundamental rights of union, organization, negotiation, and strike. And negotiation, they can't refuse. And it's just only a union have a right to negotiate. Even though you are a very strong guy, like Rube, go to your employer and individually employer refuse, I don't want to talk to with you, you go back, you have to go back. But trade union, if they refuse to negotiate, they will be punished by law. This is a very strong weapon to improve your work condition and fight against unfair dismissal. And it seems that I have to keep the time left for discussion and questions. So last one, that if you have a problem, please consult or come to visit union. But please think about the types of union. And we have two unions. One is considered conservative or called the Yellow Dog Union, very popular in Japan, and very famous as the Rengo. And but this kind of union don't admit the part-time teachers to join it. If you have a teacher union in your schools, universities, most of university teachers union don't allow to part-time teachers to join. That's why this kind of teachers should join the outside union outside. And but unfortunately, these days universities hire a lot of part-time teachers, and full-time or tenured minority in your universities. That's why if they organize 100% of tenured full-time teachers, still they are minority in your university. That's why under this condition, the employer can't change the work rules, because when they change the work rules, they require to have opinion from the union who organize majority of employee, or they have to choose, they have to elect the representative of majority of workers. Either way, university can't do it. That's why they can't change work rules at all. Anyway, I recommend you to come to visit the real union. We call it the Rodo Kumiai. And it's still a minority in Japan. And as you see, it's a small membership, high union dues, militant. But they are empirically informed. So that's why I recommend to come to visit the real union. And now, the real union is focusing on organize contingent workers, non-Japanese minorities. And of course, I belong to this kind of union, and I don't worry about the number of membership, because we always on your union member side. And if you look at the big union, they are not so efficient in emergency. Like this, last time, five university teachers came to visit us, because university now planning to restructuring, and they discuss among the teachers union. And teacher union decide, we can't do anything. That's why they have to come to visit the union outside. Because big union composed of the full-timers, always very safety in peaceful time. But in emergency, they are not efficient. But which one you choose?
No
union dues, no services, or high union dues?
Excellent service.
We can do anything you want.
Is at the website ewaosaka.org, is there information in English at the website?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Last one. I should explain the difference between union and lawyers. Lawyers, it's very helpful when you fired, already fired. But you just find out their plan of restructuring or firing. Lawyers can't do anything at this stage. Please come to visit the union. And later on, union and lawyers make some cooperation to fight against this kind of dismissal or restructuring. And union dues is probably cheaper than lawyer's fee. That's why I recommend strongly. Okay, it's the time, I guess. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Now, question and answers, right?
Question. Is it okay to ask questions?
Yes, please.
Mr. Chair.
When a university goes through a curriculum, sometimes change the days the classes are on. And that can be a big problem for part-time teachers.
Yes, right.
Because it changes their whole schedule. It's like a domino. Hmm. What are the rules for that? What do the part-time teachers have as a, like, can they say, don't change the day? Hmm.
Yeah, there's no law and no rules about that. It should be decided through the negotiation only. And of course, as I said, the duration of the contract, they cannot change the date of the teaching. But what you say is when you renew the contract, they will change the date of the teaching. Yeah, it happens sometimes. That's why we negotiate. And we have negotiated, and we will negotiate. Don't change the working condition without the consent of union. That's what we first demand the employer when form the union.
When does the university have to, what's the time restraints for that?
It depends on the universities. But if you are part-time teachers and make a one-year contract, as I said earlier, that the one-year contract expired, then they can make a new contract, which you can accept or not. That's take it or leave. That's their policy.
Whenever we negotiate for anything with schools, we always ask strongly for a clause saying you cannot change working conditions without union approval. And when we get those, they cannot change your schedule. But we often don't get it. Mm. Sometimes we do, like in Tonga, different places, and they cannot change without our permission. But if the union hasn't negotiated with the college, then it's up to the college and the contract system. Mm.
Of course, university.
They don't have to let the teacher know a year ahead of time. We're going to be changing the days. Hmm. There's no rule.
No.
About that. They can do it whenever they want.
And what if everybody's on G-Ray? If you have all G-Ray contracts, those are permanent, and they just can't change again.
And we can think about it in other way, that if your employment is secured, when they change your working date, you should be paid, even though you don't work, you don't teach, because I have a permanent contract. Of course, they don't admit, they don't accept, but the point is, you make a one-year contract and renew the contract several times, then you can insist your employment become permanent.
On that day.
Yeah.
Same conditions.
But it's, I think, difficult to force them to accept your demand individually. Organize or unite part-time teachers as many as possible. and then make a place at them. And if you work at a private universities, the curriculum is made by the faculty or deans, and but the educational foundation of the university don't know about it. But who make a contract with you is the educational foundation of university.
Okay, so what if there have to be legitimate reasons for terminating contracts and employment? Financial problems. Many universities now do not have enough students, and they're saying, we have to reduce your hours or we have to let you go. Is that considered a legitimate reason by the courts?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe not. If they say that, we always request them to show us the proof of the financial situation, such as the balance sheet.
Yeah.
Or
the books.
Yeah, the books.
Yeah.
We can find out what direction is money is spending, not
and,
the teacher.
And they have to show you that?
Yeah, they have
to.
Oh, okay, well, I mean, if it's
their obligation.
Okay.
That's good to know.
Of course, we have to have the ability to analyze the balance sheet.
The difference between rights responsibilities for people working in private institutions and people working at city or municipal. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it, but it wasn't so clear.
Really?
Huh?
Oh. Even Japanese don't understand the difference between city and the private university. And, I talked with some professors who are very good at law, labor law, but it still inefficient against a court decision. But city sometimes fire or dismiss teachers, then we should consider the situation or status of city workers. It is very difficult to explain.
Public workers don't have the same rights.
Right.
It used to be public workers couldn't strike.
But special public servants have a right of strike.
Special
instead.
Some can't. I don't think police officers, firefighters, they can't strike.
Ordinary public servants don't have a right of strike. But special servants, like ALTs or foreigners, working at the National University have a right of strike. Foreigners. It's regulated. National public servant law.
We always heard the opposite, but now you know.
So do you recommend that, I mean, I've gotten many different pieces of paper from my university. Mm-hmm. I should probably consult a lawyer to make sense of what's, I mean, I'm interested in joining a union, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
What?
But it, yes, you can consult with the lawyers, but there is a very few lawyers who are good at the public servant laws field.
Okay.
Mm.
But
very
the difficult. Lawyers know, I mean, the unions know more about this. The unions.
I hope.
We know more in Osaka, but not in Hokkaido.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, someone in Hokkaido and support who would like to join. Would
EWA
Osaka be a good idea?
Yeah, the answer will be by Todd.
Yeah, I lived in Hirosaki, Aomori, Ken, and I joined the union a number of years ago. And although I can't participate regularly because I'm so far from Osaka, it has really been wonderful having that security. And he's working on a case for me now. I changed universities in April on my own volition, but my university refused to give me a retirement allowance. And there's nothing that says that I shouldn't get it. And so we're fighting it. And they're mad about it.
The really only trouble is it's hard for us to go around the country and negotiate. Well,
I paid for his. I said I'll pay for you to come up because it's well worth it.
In those cases,
but sometimes it's I've heard of cases where a phone call and an indication, we're the people that negotiate with the universities. Do you really want us to come up there and start dealing with you, or would you like to just work this out the right way?
Well, they'll call your bluff something. They called ours, didn't they? They didn't think we'd come up to me from Fukuoka and you from Osaka, but we did.
Yeah.
And the lawyers didn't show up. We got there, and the university people were there. Where are the lawyers? Oh, didn't get the memo. They couldn't come. Well, they didn't send the memo, so.
We have gone to Okayama, and we won Cabin's case down there.
I was going to ask, do you have other people, other colleagues in the same situation as you?
Yeah, I was not there when they used the term, but it used to be Daikokujin
Kyoshi,
and then they changed it to Tokunin Jun Kyoju. So we're specially appointed, and there are six of us, and we're hired on 3 or 4 year contracts according to how much education you have, and then you're expected to leave. But all of the documentation is in Japanese. And as far as, my understanding is that their hands are really tied by law as to what they can offer and what's available.
That's
bullshit.
Well, they make it sound like we can't renew you because if you've been with you the past 6 years, we have to give you a permanent job and you qualify for this, that, and the other. And this is the problem, is I don't know, who do I talk to?
They probably don't know either.
Excuse me.
No, please.
The reason I ask is that I work in a private university of Sendai. And when I was hired, I was two other foreign, native speakers foreigners who were hired, and they were hired specifically to start up a new department. We did not have an English department, but we were hired for a special department. And at the time we were hired, we were promised by the president at that time that it would be permanent. But actually we were on contract for about 10 years. And in this time, the school was undergoing major changes. And what we ended up doing is that the three of us got together. Of course, we couldn't join the teacher of the university union, but the university has a very strong union, and so we made quite personal connections, and we had meetings with them. And we also consulted a lawyer, a labor specialist in the city, and of course the school knew that we were doing this, and so they kind of got scared of what we were going to do. And they also knew that if we left, it would be it would be embarrassing for the school because we were hired specifically to sign up for. From the very end, it was very, very stressful, but in the end, we all became permanent sending them.
Yeah, see, I would be interested in staying. Uh-huh. The turnover at Hokodai is so rapid that I don't know how many people are interested in staying. Mm-hmm. I've been there for 2.5 years. I've never been in a place of work where I've seen so many people come and go. And I don't know if they'd care about permanent employment or longer-term employment.
I can answer that. I can speak to the history of Hokodai because I'm from Sapporo myself, if I may. Very, very, very briefly, it's okay. Mm-hmm. This is as an example of how this sort of system works. Hokodai, as you know, is a national university. It was one of the sites of the Great Gaiji Massacre of 1992 to 1994. Where they decided everybody in the national universities, thanks to Mont Bouchot at the time, handing down a directive saying,
fire all your foreigners over 35. You know, just don't renew their contracts. They said, okay, we're going to restructure. We're going to kaseka the universities, right? And we're going to enliven them by just hiring younger foreigners. And Hokudai was on the front lines of that. They just hired all of them. They just fired all of their foreigners. Joe told me it was one of them. Well, actually, he quit before they could fire him. But Hokudai in particular has a long, egregious history of saying foreigners are not there permanent. And they've only hired, in the English department, one foreigner permanently, Paul Stapleton. And he's a token. He's just a person that says, okay, see, we don't discriminate. Some of our best people.
One.
Yeah, we got one, so there. And a lot of universities will do that, actually. They'll just hire one permanently and keep everybody else on contracts. But the point is, Hokudai, like a lot of other universities, are saying that foreigners cannot be kokakomui. They cannot be civil servants. Therefore, they must be on contracts. A lot of the, even though they privatized, and there is no more civil servant, technically, in these universities, they're still going to argue that and hope that you're ignorant.
Yeah, Paul left.
Oh, yes, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, what a shame.
So, it's hard for me to know what's going on because there's so much turnover there. I get the feeling that people don't like it. I don't know how to compare this to other national universities and what sort of, how long people stay there and do they enjoy it and do they get help and do they get information.
Sometimes they do.
Union. That's it. That's the answer. Really? Union.
There's so much turnover to you. Maybe that's the writing on the wall that maybe you don't want to stay.
Yes, right? But you may have certain reasons that you need to stay, and you may have reasons that you want to buy.
Like a family, for example. Yeah. Like a house that you want to buy, for example. Yeah. Things
any
like
more
that.
Questions for the speaker?
Yes. Sorry.
What I can comment is we got involved with the University of Kobe. It's a national university.
Yeah.
And before privatizing, privatization, they called as a 外国人 教師 and public servant, covered by public servant law. But suddenly it's privatized, and all they become private section workers. But administration or president don't know much about the private workers' situation. Then we start the negotiation, and successfully we extend the contract another 3 years. But then 3 years later, the contract was terminated.
So it's possible perhaps to squeeze a little bit more time. But
and most of the national university have teachers union. And you should consult the teacher union first.
Well, why don't they contact me? Is there a reason that a union at a university do not want me in?
Most of them are yellow dog unions.
So even
they don't have the same rights. They're not a roto kumia. They do not have the same rights.
So for instance, when you mentioned the union at the university, that was a pretty strong union. That's an exception.
It's kind of known in the area as being rather strong.
But that's an exception.
It's probably an exception.
Yeah. Some universities do have rotokumi. But the other point is we always try to get different unions at the university support anyway, which is exactly what you did, even if you're not members. And sometimes they'll write recommendations and stuff that we can use in negotiations. Even if you're not allowed to be in the union, they right now get support from other unions.
Yeah, yeah.
What about harassment cases? I had a colleague who was harassed and quit, and I'm wondering if...
You go right to court.
Okay.
The GU, the General Union, is also based in Osaka and also works with the most teachers a lot, so I'm wondering what the relationship is between the EWA and... Do you work together, or are you... focusing on different aspects of teaching?
Sometimes we have joint negotiations. GUU basically has specialized in language schools. And they're big at regional Econ and they're big at some other places, but In our joint negotiations, we found that the general union negotiates for their members, not for ours. But we can go on Shunto together and marches and stuff together. We have cordial relationships, but if you're at the university level, I would recommend our union over the GU.
How many members are in your union? If you say small, what is that?
300?
Okay. All right. It's small, yeah. Some unions are like that, like the Musicians Union in the United States.
Well, we're affiliated, of course, with a much bigger union.
Okay. But we have a 350. I know every member by face.
Very good.
Good. I have a question. Do you think there's anything that can be done to force the cities to hire ALTs directly? And do you think that your union would be interested in doing that?
Good question. Because these days, most of city prefectures are accepting illegal dispatch teachers from private.
None of those illegal dispatch teachers.
We have a good program. The union should dispatch teachers to cities. Because according to the Japanese law, only union can dispatch teachers to workplaces. It's not called dispatch law, but worker providing something. I already started talk with some cities to accept teachers from union, not company, because they are very afraid of being attacked by labor ministry. You are wrong. You accepting illegal teacher. You should stop it. And from next year on, all elementary school, Japanese school, have to start an English program. Every city is very concerned about how to accept native speakers. And this is a time to start whole union to think about it. Not attack them, but cooperative with them. Okay?
Thank you. All right. So, very interesting answer.
Me too.
Time's about to wrap it up.
I'd say so. Well, thank you very much for. Stay here.